Scripture reading from this morning will be coming from Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do.
Shut your eyes real tight for just a couple of seconds. Real tight, shut your eyes. Not going to sneak up on you. Just shut your eyes now. We'll talk about that in just a few minutes. Why are you so happy? Why are you so happy? First of all, are you happy? But what is it that makes you happy? There's a lot of people that's not happy. There's people that we run in contact with that's having trouble in life, and they're struggling in life, and they can't find happiness, and you can tell it by looking at them. I had someone ask me. We spent the day yesterday at the hospital, and anytime somebody wanted something, I jumped at the opportunity to go get it because I'm not good being locked in a room. So I went back and forth to the car for diapers and wipes and whatever somebody thought they might want, I went and got it. Spent a lot of time on the elevator, going up and down, walking up down the halls, and you could see people that were struggling. Someone told me not long ago they were depressed and they were having trouble in their life. And they looked at me. They didn't know me. They didn't know me very well. They didn't know too much about me. And I told them, I said, I hope that things get better. I hope that you can find happiness. And we talked for a while, and he said, well, you've never had a lot of trouble. And someday, son, when you have a lot of trouble, you're going to know how I feel. And I said, I have indeed been blessed in my life. And I'll be praying for you that your life will improve so that you can find happiness. Went and saw an older lady one time, actually kin to me, in a nursing home. And when you would go see her in a nursing home, she would get all over you if you walked in smiling and happy. You could go in and you could have a cheerful look on your face. How are you doing today? She'd run you out of there. And I can almost understand that. I don't want to go there either. What makes you so happy? I want to read a couple verses for you. First, and it's found in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I was thinking about this Wednesday night during class when we were having class out here, and I stumbled upon this because something that someone had said. I went to this verse. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness unto His marvelous light. Think about that passage for just a minute. You know, I go to it pretty often. I think about it a lot because when we think about our life and we think about happiness and we think about being a Christian and what drives us, what makes us want to go and continue every day, we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. I like this next one, a peculiar people. I like that word. I've heard it all my life. You know, he's kind of peculiar. I don't think that's a good thing when you're talking about somebody like that. You know, he's peculiar. In other words, stay away from me. But here the scripture tells us, you are a peculiar people. You should show forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness. That's giving us direction. That's letting us know how important we are. And we are to allow that light because you shut your eyes a few minutes ago. What did you see? Where's Keith? Shut your eyes. What do you see? You didn't see anything. I hate that feeling. I hate not being able to see. I know I told you about the time I went down in Mammoth Cave and that woman shut the lights off. I almost had a fit. I went to finding my phone, hitting that button. I had to see something. I got in trouble for hitting the button, but I didn't care. I had to see. I don't like that darkness. What did you see a while ago when you had your eyes shut? You didn't see anything, did you? You know, that's scary. We have to get past that as young children, because young children, we have what in their room? We have a nightlight. So when they wake up in the middle of the night, they're not frightened. They can see. They have light. And we are drawn so much to light in our life because we like light. And we teach our children that. That when you wake up, you're going to be able to see. Don't fear that. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. How does the song go? I once was blind, but now I see. You shut your eyes and squint them. Darkness, open your eyes, there's light. That is why we're happy, because we used to be in that darkness that you had your eyes shut. That's where we were at in our life because we didn't have Christ. A few weeks ago, I preached a sermon on disadvantages of being a Christian. Disadvantages of being a Christian. And today, I guess I would entitle this, What I Got. Nick texted me yesterday. I was at the hospital. Want to know what I was preaching on this morning. And I'm so happy that he sang the songs that he did. What I got. Why am I so happy? What's the advantages of being a Christian? Here's just a few that I want to mention. Number one, a lot of people will say, I'm confused about God. If you ever talk to people about the scriptures, or you talk to them about the church, or you talk to them about becoming a Christian, at some point in your life, if you talk to enough people, you're going to hear that, I am confused about God. I can see why someone wouldn't be happy if you're confused about God. But look at the other side of that versus I'm united with God. Which one sounds better? I'm confused about God or I'm united with God? You know, the scriptures teaches us. Peyton read for us just a few minutes ago in Philippians, or in Colossians chapter 3. And I want to look at just a little further than what he read. If you'll turn to Colossians chapter 3. Look at verse 13. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. I like when I'm reading scriptures and when I'm studying, especially when I'm down and I need to be lifted up, I like to insert my name in certain places because I think that we can. I think that we can because the scriptures are for all, everybody. When we read these scriptures, it is about us. Even as Christ forgave Tim. I look back on my life and I've made some boo-boos in my life. I've made some mistakes. I've sinned in my life. I've done things I'm not proud of. And I love to come to this verse, even as Christ forgave Tim, Nars, us, the church, people that's willing to submit their lives to God, you will be forgiven. But then you go on down and you look down at verse 15 and it says this, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. I don't know about you, but that means we're being united with God. When we allow God to rule in our hearts, and we allow His peace to dwell in us, and it focuses us and it drives us, we're united. We're no longer confused about God because God is giving us peace in our life. I don't know about y'all, but that makes me happy to know that I can have that. That I don't have to live my life confused. You see, while we live here on earth as Christians, we can be very, very thankful because we have a true peace that a non-Christian doesn't have. We have that peace, and we find it because they can't have it because they're not united with God. A lot of times I'll say, all I want is a little peace. You ever get to that point in your life, everything's going wrong, I'm just looking for a little peace here. The non-Christian never, ever, ever gets that. Number two, hear people say, nobody really cares for me. Nobody really cares for me. There's young people that think they are on the outside. They're not in the group. Maybe they feel that they're not popular. Maybe they're not popular. And sometimes we feel like we're on the outside of a circle. And we might make that statement. Nobody really cares. Nobody likes me. Nobody loves me. But let's look at the other side of that. When we think about God and we think about a Christian, we say nobody really cares versus I have someone that loves and cares for me. And folks, we have that. I don't care where you're at in your life. You have someone who loves and cares for you. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. Says, but God demonstrates his love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we are saved from the wrath through him. As Christians, we can know that we have someone who cares for us, that loves us and willing and will always be there for us. What is it when you think about love and someone caring for you? Turn with me. I know you're going to know this verse, but grab a Bible if you will. Because when I call this verse, you can quote it. But turn to this. John chapter 3 and verse 16. Turn there with me because I want us to look at this. Because many people in the world get to the point that they feel that no one loves them. And many times these people will even go to a point of harming themselves. I'll say that again. People get to a point because they think no one really cares and loves them. They'll get to a point in their life that they will harm themselves. We don't like to think about that, do we? We have got to know that we're loved. And we've got to know that we're important. That is a driving force. I don't care what you say. That's a driving force in your life. It's a driving force in my life that I know that I'm loved and I'm needed and I help people. And you feel the same way. You have to. It doesn't matter if everyone hates you or hates us. A Christian can still be happy knowing that God loves you. Now you follow me here. John chapter 3 and verse 16, look at it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Well, wait a minute. Let's read that one more time. For God so loved him that he gave his only begotten Son, that if Tim, if you will believe in him, you will not perish, but you'll have everlasting life. God loved Tim so much that he allowed Jesus to come down here and die on the cross. I'm going to tell you something. Jesus would have died on that cross if it had only been John Henry. If it was just him, it was going to be that Jesus died. You put your name there in that verse. You're loved. God is calling you and he's calling me and he says, I love you that much. Now this next verse you're going to know too, but turn with me. John chapter 15. John chapter 15, and this is a little bit longer. Let's look at verses 12 through 19. He says this is my commandment that ye love one another. Now that's the love that God had. He loved us. And he's telling each one of us that you love one another as I have loved you. Now keep your finger right here because we're coming right back. Turn back one page to John chapter 14. verse 1. We're talking about in verse 12 that love one another as I've loved you. Then you want to know what that love is, go to 14 verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go. Now that is a commitment and that is a promise from God. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive. You can put your name right here. You can receive Tim unto myself, that where I am, there will Tim be also. Go back to verse 15 or chapter 15. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what the Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me. That's big. That's big for us as Christians. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whosoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, it will be given to you. Now let's focus on verse 17 through 19. These things I command you, that you love one another. Now here it is. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. That's Jesus talking to us. If you're hated by the world, don't worry about it. It hated me first. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. What does all that mean? It means what I said a few minutes ago. Even if the whole world hates you, don't let that control you if you are a Christian, because you have the love of God and the love of Christ, that he died for our sins. And just go ahead, Shane, and insert your name right there. That's how important you are. Why are you happy? You're happy because you're loved. Another great lesson we can learn, or advantage of being a Christian, is that we will have a much happier home life. Now, we need to listen to this for just a minute. A lot of homes being destroyed today. They are being torn apart. If you want a happier home life, you be a Christian. That don't mean you're not going to have problems. You see, I look at my life sometimes. I told you, this person told me I've never had any problems. I look at my life and I think that I've had a little weight to carry. Not that I want sympathy, but I've had problems. And I'll say it without her being here this morning. Wendy and I have had some arguments and disagreements over the years. But we're happy. We're happy. We got turmoil right now in our life. Not mine and hers, but the surroundings around us. But we're happy. Trying to help Daniel. Help him get to where he can see again. I lost one, trying to help the other one. You know why I'm happy? Because I know that through Jesus Christ, that all the suffering and all the pain and all the headaches that we may have in life one day will be over, and it will have been worth it because we stood where we needed to stand. And that's why I can put a smile on my face when I'm in an elevator. I hope you have a great day. And I know you're hurting, and I'm sorry you're hurting, and I'll pray for you.
this person said yesterday, you don't even know my name. I said, well, give me your name. And they did, and I said, I'll pray for you. If you want to, we'll pray right now. I hope that your life is as blessed as mine has been. Because I've been blessed because of Jesus. You see, it doesn't matter what we go through on this earth. We can take great comfort in knowing that we will receive glory in heaven. So, lift your head up. Monty tells me every time when we're out the door, keep your chin up. Keep your chin up. I asked him one time, I said, what's that for? So somebody hit it? Oh, no. See where you're going. So everybody today, lift your head up. I pray that everybody in here find happiness. I really do. It may be this morning that you're not happy. I'm going to tell you how to find happiness. In your home, in your life, homes are being torn apart. Not going to be perfect because you're a Christian. The Bible gives us instructions that we need for our home. It tells me to love Wendy as I love myself. Take care of her, put her first. When I do that, I'm going to love her and I'm going to treat her with respect and we're going to grow and we're going to be united and you're not going to be able to tear me and Wendy apart without doing damage to both of us and you're going to have a fight on your hands. Not going to give up. And my kids are going to be where they need to be. They're going to have problems. But the scripture tells me, look, raise your child in such a way, don't provoke him to wrath. Teach him about love. Teach him about Jesus. Teach him about forgiveness. Teach him about right from wrong. But you better teach him there's consequences to doing the wrong thing. But I'm going to tell you something. A lot of parents are not teaching children that anymore. We let them make their own decisions. We act like, they made that decision. There are no consequences where it will be one day. I don't care if the whole world says we can't discipline, spank, punish, whatever you want to talk about our children, and we got to tell everybody they're okay even though they're wrong. One day God will straighten it out. And my best bet is to teach my children, especially my grandchildren now, there is a no, and this is what no means. Now, you want a happy life? Be a Christian. Take this book home with you. And let this be the center of your life. Take the guidelines, take the instructions, and say, God knows best. And when we do that, you're going to be happier. Things are going to work smoother. It won't always be perfect. But you still have that hope, and you have that glory. I want to close with this. I got off track. Luke chapter 14 and verse 26. It says, if any man comes to me and does not hate his father and his mother and his wife and his children and his brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. You know, that eliminates a lot of people right there. Those verses right there, it eliminates a whole bunch in the world. Because a lot of us are not willing to bear that cross. We're not willing to put our life aside for God. So that eliminates a bunch. Verse 28, for which of you intending to build a tower does not set down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it, lest after he has laid the foundation and not able to finish, all who sees it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king is going to make war against another king does not set down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all, that he cannot be counted as my disciple. That's scary. That scares me that I could not be counted as Jesus' disciple. But I can be. I can. And I'm united with God. And I have the peace and the love, and it's a struggle and it's a battle, and as Christians we work on it every day, but that's why we're happy. Now back to what I said a few minutes ago, and I'm really fixing to close this time. If you're not happy this morning, find happiness. And it is such a simple process. Don't complicate it. Do you this morning believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? You see, Mark, or actually we can start with John chapter 3 and verse 16. We done read it. For God so loved the world, put your name there, that if you believe, we have to believe. We have to turn away from sin. We have to repent. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Repent. Say, look, I made mistakes. Pray to God. I struggle with issues and problems in life. I have addictions. I have habits. I have whatever you want to call it. I'm living in such a way I'm not proud of, and I'm struggling with this, and I want to get it out of my life. Turn away from those things. Confess that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior and Son of and the Son of God. Be baptized today and wash away your sins. If you've never been baptized, you've never had that feeling of coming up out of that watery grave of baptism. But I'm going to tell you something. When you do those first things, Dale, am I wrong? When you come out of that watery grave of baptism, you feel different. And you feel like that new creature. And because you know you've been united with God. Because you know, sometimes in life we struggle to the point that we give up and we even quit. We walk away from God. Or we're struggling with things, we feel ourselves slipping away from God. That's what the church is here for. It's to help you, encourage you, and pray with you and for you. Help me. Or let me carry some of your weight. Let the church, the congregation here, help you with what you're struggling with. Because at the end of the day, what we need more than anything else is to be faithful and right with God. So that's the question while we stand and sing, is are you right with God? If not, come while we stand and sing.